Is this real life?
Behold, Timmy, life, real life, a thing that we have been denied for far too long.
Welcome to the desert of the real
life. English, do you speak it?
Hello and welcome to another Real Life English Podcast, the only English podcast guaranteed to make you more attractive to the opposite sex. I'm here tonight with my co-host Chad Fishwick, and every week Chad posts 5 different expressions into the Facebook fan page, and we'll do a little podcast about those today. So Chad, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Trevor. I'm pretty good. Friday afternoon, just relaxing here in Belo Horizonte. Actually, we just ordered some acai, so I thought I'd take this half an hour while we wait for it to come to make a podcast.
Nice. Love that acai. Something we do every Friday here at Real Life English. Orders us some acai. So, looking forward to that.
And the trick is getting your leche ninho, the milk powder with the acai.
That's your trick, not my trick. Alright, so we got a question from someone on our Twitter account. So you can follow us on Twitter at reallifeing, E-N-G. And the question was from at huzhra11, so I'll spell that out, H-Z-U-H-R-A-H-1-1. And his or her question was, what is the difference between wish and hope? Chad, you mind answering that one for?
The difference between wish and hope. So, wish is generally something that's not that probable, it's not that likely, and we use it a lot with modal verbs, like a conditional. I wish I could, or I wish he would. So I could say, I wish I could fly. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, or I wish I could win $1 million.
Yeah. Or I wish, if you relate it to the past, I wish I had won the lottery last week. But I didn't. But yeah, hope is generally something that's more likely. It's more probable. Like, I hope my football team wins this weekend. It's a possibility. I could win, right?
Yeah, I think so. It might not be that high of a possibility, but it's there.
Or I hope it rains. I hope it stops raining.
Yeah. You can also say, I hope you feel better. Like, if you're someone who's sick, it's a common thing to say.
You'd never wish that someone feels better.
Right, yeah, that sounds weird.
It sounds strange, right?
Yeah.
See what Trevor, some of his wishes are. What do you wish?
What do I wish for?
If I was a magic genie and I gave you one wish,
I would wish for everyone to meditate at least 2 times a day.
Yeah, I would wish, if I saw a magic genie, I would wish for my own island in the Caribbean.
Alright, well, maybe we can make that work out someday, Chad. So tell your friends about this podcast, and maybe one day Chad can buy his own island.
Awesome.
Alright, so what were those 5 expressions you did this week, Chad?
So this week, the expressions were, until the cows come home, teach an old dog new tricks, smell a rat, eat a horse, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, and a wolf in sheep's clothing. So if you hadn't realized, the theme was expressions with animals. Every expression had an animal in it somehow.
I was wondering what the theme was. I was thinking, oh, you didn't go for a theme this week, but I didn't realize.
Yeah. I didn't even realize there were so many expressions with animals either.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Alright, so why don't you tell us what that first one is, since I've never heard of it before. I think it might be Australian. So what does until cows come home mean?
So maybe, if you don't know, it could be from British English, I guess.
Could be, or maybe I'm just stupid, I don't know.
Maybe so. until cows come home. This expression is used to say that you really love something and you could do it for a long time. An example that I used was, I really love that song. I could listen to it until the cows come home. So you can just listen to that song forever.
Got it. And so do you know where that expression may come from?
Where it comes from? I have no idea.
Okay.
Maybe the people were waiting for maybe a cow ran away and they waited for the cow to come back home and it just took forever.
Or maybe cows never come home. So that's like the thing is, I can eat this forever because the cow's never going to come home.
Could be. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. The second one was to teach an old dog new tricks. Have you heard of this one, Trevor?
Yes, definitely heard of that one. And so I believe it's like, can't teach a dog, an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, you can't teach a dog. Can't.
Yes, depending on where you're from. So, can't teach an old dog new tricks is when you get so used to doing things a certain way that you don't like or you're not able to learn new things. So you notice this with old people and computers, how they just have a really hard time learning some basic computer skills, where it's really easy for our generation.
I think the example I used was my dad smoking. I think he's been smoking for so long that to get him to change his habits, it's nearly impossible. So I could say, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks with my dad.
Gotcha. And I believe that expression comes from old dogs aren't very good at learning new tricks. So pretty obvious there.
Yep.
All right, so the next one, to smell a rat. So what does that mean, Chad?
To smell a rat. I think I've heard this expression before also, to smell out a rat. Mm-hmm. But to smell a rat, so rat in English kind of symbolizes someone who is not very honest, someone who is going to expose you in some way that's negative. So to smell a rat is when you're suspicious of someone. You think maybe they're going to share some of your secrets with people they shouldn't, or maybe they're going to tell your boss that you weren't actually sick that day, that you called in sick or something like that.
Yeah, so it does have a negative connotation with the word rat, but it's also often used, to smell a rat is often used when somebody else already did something bad and then someone else is going to, what they say, rat them out or reveal their secrets, like you said. Mm-hmm. So usually you don't have to worry about rats if you live a completely honest and open life.
There was actually on the Facebook community, when I posted this, someone actually asked me, hey, is this similar to the expression when something smells fishy? You know that one, smell fishy?
Yeah, it's a little bit similar.
It's kind of similar, but I said a rat is always referred to the person who's doing the bad thing.
Yeah.
Fishy is always a situation, a suspicious situation.
Right.
I think there's a difference there.
Alright, so the next one is, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. And so this is just used pretty common to just describe how hungry you are. So you
this
can...
This is actually funny because Trevor is a is a vegetarian.
Right.
Have you ever eaten a horse?
I've never had horse meat.
No.
Have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, do people do that?
When I was actually looking for the picture, it actually came up someone eating a horse meat. So yeah. I'm sure a lot of people do, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, I've never heard of any particular countries that do that. So if you guys know of any countries that eat horse meat, or if you've ever eaten it yourself, send us a tweet at RealLifeIng and let us know how it tastes, or tasted.
But what does that mean, Trevor? You're so hungry you could eat a horse.
So it just means that you're so hungry you could eat so much food. How much does a horse weigh? Like 500, 600 pounds?
Probably close to a ton.
Kilos. Yeah, probably a lot more than that. And so it just describes how hungry you are. It's like you're so hungry that you're almost dying. You need to get some food in you.
That's it. To eat a horse.
So I still use that expression even though I'm vegetarian.
Yeah, it's not vegetarian bias, right?
Well, not me, at least.
You don't have... I think Trevor could have an equivalent would be, I'm so hungry, I could eat a watermelon. Which is funny because he actually does that every day.
Yeah, that's not really that impressive because I do that already.
He's that whole really watermelon.
That hyperbole of something that you would never actually eat. Well, maybe it is because here in Brazil, the watermelons are really big, and so I only have eaten a half watermelon in Brazil, so yeah. Maybe I could use that. I'll start saying that. I'm so hungry I could eat a whole watermelon.
Right. The last one is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
And so that's acai, so we're going to pause this and come back in one sec.
1 second.
Alright, so acai is in the fridge, so we'll finish this up real quick because we're hungry. We're so hungry we could eat a horse.
Oh, snap.
All right, so what's the last one, Chad?
Last one, I'm not sure if we said this already. A wolf in sheep's clothing. So, a wolf, let's start. A wolf is generally a symbol of a bad person, a villain in many nursery rhymes and fables.
Yeah, and little kid stories.
Little kid stories, right. So a wolf in sheep's clothing is someone who is pretending to be innocent and like everyone else, but they're actually a bad person. They're pretending to be someone good to take advantage of the situation or of a person.
So a good example of that is politicians. They pretend to be all innocent and good, but really they're bad.
They are definitely wolves in sheep's clothing. The sheep is kind of like a lovable creature. It's very nice.
Maybe just like innocent and ignorant. And
yeah.
Nobody's afraid of a sheep.
No.
Sheep are also used for people who don't think for themselves.
But this comes from the kid's story, the boy who cried wolf, I think. A wolf eats sheep as right. well, right? So
yeah,
he's pretending to be a sheep so he can actually eat the other sheep,
right.
The real sheep. So you can look at that many ways.
Right,
that was it. That was the five expressions.
All right, cool, cool. So thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back with another one next week. And if you follow us on Facebook, you can see these expressions as they come. And we'll see you next time.
See you guys. I don't want this feeling to go away. Please don't go away. Is this how it's supposed to be?